The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, May 17, 2020. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning, and God bless you. As you may or may not know, Pastor Jim spent a couple of days in the hospital this past week with chest pains. I think he has some more fun stuff to look forward to this next week. But as you can see, there he is. Our purpose here this morning is to try to give him a little bit of relief, rest. I'd like to let you know that there is an offering plate out front in the entrance. There are also rules for the COVID virus on the entrance and also on the table out front. So if you need any of those, and know that we are following the social distancing rules. Let us pray. Well, God, here we are, ready to worship and praise you. Grateful that you brought us safe thus far and every prayerful thing that we can do. And we ask that you will help us continue to guide us and protect us as we introduce others to our Jesus. We're grateful for Pastor Jim and all the others who kept the ministry going using various available media, Facebook, Zoom, even radio broadcasts to the parking lot. Be with us as we move forward. All honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty. Amen. Before we enter into our time of prayer, please look at the front of your bulletin. And it says, "Because I live, you will live too." Considering all that has gone on in our country and around the world in the past few months, we all can find comfort in this little bit of scripture. Because I live, you will live too. John 14:19. Because you see, God knows what will happen. And because he will be with us through it all, we need not fear. We don't have to know the future to have faith in God. We have to have faith in God to be secure about our future. Now, please take a moment of silent prayer. Father, from whom every good and perfect gift comes, grant to us ever deeper insight into your word and will. Thank you for all your healing mercy. Grant to us who despair the hope of the gospel. Grant to those who live in fear confidence and strength. Grant that we might receive from you the strength to do our work, and that it be useful to others. Help Pastor Jim to heal and regain strength. Let us remember to pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. First Peter 3:13-22. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God patiently waited in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of God for the people of God.
The COVID pandemic has made it very difficult for our seniors to enjoy the traditions of the past, but it's also offered a different way to get to see, to greet, and meet, and experience graduation. I won't declare it better or worse. I just prefer as it was. But thank you for all that you have done and for what lay ahead for you. It's good to hear that these kids have figured out where they're going and what they're going to do. And that's a good thing, I think, in today's society. And Ryan, God bless you going into the field of which you are at this point in an economy that is, it's more than upside down, folks. It has turtled. It has just went almost underground. So God bless you. We'll need those financial folks to help us along the journey. As I thought and prayed, and Carrie and I, she was going to speak today, and we bounced this thing around and bounced it around, and so I got elected by God's grace and provision or whatever. I thought about a message for you seniors, and I thought about, you know, you're going to be going out and doing something, but you know what? The future is before every one of us, not just our seniors. Our future unfolds, and we don't know what it holds. Irregardless of our age, whether we're as young as little Nick or as old as Carrie, today's her birthday. I'll pay for that later. Did you see the look? So in 1 Peter, we find him giving us some encouragement. How many of us are familiar with suffering? Anybody? know anything about sin. We get that, don't we? We get that loss. We get that dejection. We get that rejection. We get that failed attempt. We get all of those things. But Peter here is going to talk to us about a little different kind of suffering. Now, I want to share with you just a little bit about suffering. The wrong question to ever ask is, why do people suffer? That is the wrong question. And I always get asked this question, if your God is such a loving God, why is there so much suffering in the world? I don't want to be a part of a God who lets suffering like that go. And I wonder how you can face it, rejecting a loving God's presence, peace, provision, and promise. I just wonder. We look all the way back to the book of Job, and we see how Job suffered. In one day, Job lost 10 children. In one day, he lost his flocks and fields. And in one day, he lost his health. He sat in sackcloth and ashes and scraped sores and boils. And his wife walked up to him and said, "What is there of you, Job? Curse God and die." But we know that this kind of suffering is a given. So the question isn't why, but how. You see, when we face suffering in our lives, it isn't about what we're going through, it's how we're going through it. Life for each one of us is made up of 10% of what happens to us and 90% of what we do about it. We have to decide how we face it, how we move ahead, how we go through it. Does it make us stronger, call on God, trust in God more, or do we retreat? In this time of pandemic and panic, a lot of people are retreating, and a lot of people are taking advantage of that. The Christian should not face any difficulty, as does the rest of the world. And the themes from 1 Peter bring us to where and how we move forward. In my house, they know that there are some phrases that they hear often. We don't say, "I can't," because "can't" means you quit. "Can't," never could do anything. But it is okay to say, "Can you help me?" Sometimes we're afraid to say that, aren't we? When we're going through a difficult spot in our life, when that darkness of the world and we feel like retreating, cowboy up is the Wyoming way. But sometimes it's okay to not go alone. And the Christian never goes alone. Peter says to this group to whom he writes, during the persecution of Nero of the early Christians, how many of you have heard about the persecution of Christians by Nero? It's a historical event and it's factual. It isn't just a biblical thing. As a matter of fact, our Bible doesn't even tell us how bad it was. How many of you feel like a light bulb? Anybody? How many of you are Christian, you believe in Jesus? Then Nero would have saw you as a light bulb. He piled the Christians in the courtyard and burned them while he had parties. He would burn the city of Rome. Rome was a wooden city, wooden structures. He would burn Rome because he had visions of a stone city of marble and great stones and great edifices built in honor of his name. And the buildings we see in Rome today, the ruins of Rome we see, are those that came after the burning of Rome in 50. And guess who he blamed? Christians. Christians got blamed for the burning of Rome because they were different. Because they didn't have but one God. And they believed in this guy named Jesus, who they had killed. The Romans, by the way, that's historical too. But he had somehow escaped the guards in the tomb, and they claimed him to be raised. And indeed, many witnesses had said that he had been raised. You see, these Christians would get together, and if one had need, they all had need. If one was short on food, the others brought them food. You see, the Romans said, you don't share it, you hoard it, you keep it. Kind of reminds me like the toilet paper thing. This is a respiratory thing, not a refractory. It's amazing. It's remarkable. I hope you didn't go by anyway. If you did, if you can spare some. I'm just kidding. But it's this idea of greed, selfish, self-centeredness, fame, fortune. They wanted pomp and circumstance, fine dress, fine wine, fine goblets, fine cities, fine everything. But the Christians, they had learned to be content. Even in poverty, they had learned. They would get together and they would pray together. And they had all things in common. They were subversive because they didn't go to the games. They didn't go to the gladiator games and watch people be killed. Oh, they were going to get to go, but they would go as bait for the lions and fodder for the fights. So Nero saw them as strange and subversive. They were doing the right things. They were helping people, sharing a message of love and grace and acceptance and hope. They were sharing this wonderful message, and they were being persecuted because of it. You see, suffering comes not just because of loss and those things that we always associate it with, but it also causes, suffering is often caused because we do the right thing. There's an old saying, no good deed goes unpunished. How many of you have done something good for somebody only to have it backfire? Anybody other than me? I mean, you go out of your way to help somebody, and the next thing you know, they're sticking daggers in your back, you know, and talking down about what. There are different ways that we face suffering and in suffering persecutions. But Christians face all of this differently, as in the days of Nero, in the days to which Peter was writing this letter. It begins first in the mind of Peter and in my mind today, in our relationship, our salvation, our belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And he talks about that saving business, that saving grace, that saving love. And it says that we should not have the same fears, nor should we fear that which they do. You see, the world fears not being famous. The world fears not having a worldly reputation. The world fears not fitting in. The world fears not being like everyone else. But Christians are called to be different, peculiar, set apart. But in our redemption, in our salvation, in our acceptance of Christ, we have hope. How many of you like to watch movies? Does anybody like to watch movies? How many of you like Westerns? Good Westerns. I'm talking about, you know, good. Well, maybe I'm not talking about the same kind of good Western you would think is a good Western. But I kind of like the old Clint Eastwood Westerns. Does anybody like those? The good, the bad, the ugly. for a few dollars more. But one of my favorite ones, I liked Outlaw Josie Wales too, but one I like was Pale Rider. Anybody watch Pale Rider? Do you remember? He was a priest, and he came into this. Boy, was he a priest. I mean, you know. And when he's riding into the camp, they're reading, the girl's reading from Revelation, and Death comes into the camp riding on a pale horse, thus the title Pale Rider. And they're trying to get these guys out of this place in Carbon Canyon because they know there's gold in there, but they've got to get this bunch of tin pans, dug them out of, they got to throw them out of that. They got to get in there with their hydraulic mining and their sluices and their high pressure, high yield mining equipment. They've almost got them beat. They're almost ready to leave, to give up on their dreams, to throw away all that they had put in. And they had even dammed up the creek that ran through this area. Now they couldn't even pan for gold. And the guy that was behind all this, you know, the evil guy, the bad, the evil person, his son was to do all this, you know, his biddings. And he comes and he says, I've almost got them ready to go. And he said, I heard that there's a preacher that's come in to their community. And the son says, yeah, but what difference does that make? He says, you, calls him a name, a colorful metaphor. And he says, do you not understand? They were beat until you let that preacher come in there, and now they've got hope, and you can't get them out. They'll stay there forever, because where there is hope, despair can be removed, defeat can be overcome, and trial and tribulations can be endured. You see, our salvation and our relationship with Jesus Christ brings about a hope that the world doesn't give us. It brings about an eternal hope. The next thing that Peter wants us to know about is surrender. Surrender feeds that hope, strengthens that hope, grows that hope, instills that hope. In our salvation, in our surrender and acceptance of Christ as Savior, we move into that next little piece, and that is facing suffering. Irregardless of whether it's justified or not, Christians, we need to live lives of integrity, honesty, and truth. We need to be a beacon to truth and a beacon to honesty and hope that only comes in that relationship with Jesus Christ. In the midst of anything we face, hope is eternal in Christ Jesus. Peter reminds us that even if we do good, we might suffer. And if that be God's will, Peter says, so be it. For it is better to suffer for doing the right thing than to suffer for doing wrong. For then you've suffered without integrity, and it'll be shown. My friends, the truth will always stand, but a lie will always fall. Being true to God will always outlast the temporary things of peer pressures. And guess what? Our teenagers, our young people are not the only ones that face that. There's intimidation today on job markets to comply. There's pushes by our society to conform, even for adults. And we as Christians need to live a life of God-fearing, hope-filled integrity of honesty and truth. In our lives, truth will lead us free. For Jesus said He was three things in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way unto the Father. And Jesus says to us, the truth will set us free. As we move forward in the midst of whatever life may bring, it is salvation in Christ Jesus, submission to His will and purpose, that in the midst of whatever suffering may come, hope abounds. Not temporary hope, but eternal hope that is in Jesus Christ. So it is my hope and my prayer that as we, each one of us, to encourage each other in that life and to live lives of integrity. Yes, doing the right thing may sometimes cost us, but it'll only be a short-term cost, not a long-term tragedy. Amen.
As I was thinking about the seniors and graduation, I was thinking, you know, it's a new chapter for all of your lives. All of us have different chapters and all of us are doing different things, but the one thing that should always be instilled in us, I believe, is wonder. So often we take things for granted and we can just, the world sometimes can just really weigh us down. But if we live in that pursuit of wonder, the pursuit of God, if we keep Him first in everything that we do, we see things in a new light, no matter where we are. And I was walking in the desert, and I was thinking about that, and God gave me this poem that I share with you. It's called The Pursuit of Wonder. And I kind of think of little children, you know, when you think of their innocence, we should always just keep that pure. The Pursuit of Wonder. The pursuit of wonder fills the sky. Do you ever look up and sometimes ask why? Do you often ponder where you are? Do you make a wish upon a falling star? Do you believe in all you have been told? Do you question what the future may hold? What do you seek? What do you hope to find? Is there still wonderment that dares to come to mind? Are you afraid to try something new? Or are you content to simply make do? How much more do you ever expect if you forget to look up and allow doubt to infect? What do you desire deep inside your heart? Where are you headed? Do you know where to start? It begins with a question and continues with many more. Eyes that are open to see beyond the farthest star. Heaven is there and is often on earth. Do you not see miracles in each and every birth? But questions remain each and every day as I wonder about purpose, as I try to find my way. I know the answer is Jesus. He will show me where to go. But I'm not a good listener. And maybe I would rather not know. Yet, it is about questions, the ones from the heart. The desire to know Jesus is the place to start. Jesus is our wonder because He knows what is true. He can answer every question and guide us in what we do. So I pray, dear Jesus, please show me the way. I know I must listen and follow what you say. Please help me, dear Jesus, to hear your true voice. Please guide me and lead me to make the right choice. Please fill me, dear Jesus, with the wonder of you. How much more is the treasure that is found in following you? Amen.
Let us give our graduates another hand of support and appreciation. Congratulations on this milestone that you have attained. And may God go with you and before you in the other ones that still lay ahead. And may that go for each and every one of us. Now may God's grace and mercy go with you, touch you, and bless you. May His countenance shine upon you. May His Holy Spirit fill you, lead you, and guide you. And may you know in salvation, surrender, and whatever may come your way, that in Christ there is a hope that springs eternal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to a worship service broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, May 17, 2020. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.